Voices tells the arts, culture, and history stories of northern Minnesota. And you are listening to the Wednesday Morning Show. And this morning, I've got Mark Bridge on the phone. Mark is a historical reenactor who you might find playing in the chuck wagon shows, dressed as cowboy or some other character from the olden days. And that's just one of the many things that he does. He also teaches banjo and folk instruments to all ages, and he can teach bluegrass, clawhammer, minstrel, and melodic styles. He's a history buff. He's an accomplished chef. He's an antiques dealer, and he teaches artisan bread baking. His lifelong history and his love of creating and eating food, they go hand in hand. He's been known to recreate recipes from the Victorian age using measuring devices and culinary tools from the Victorian age. And that's something you can follow along on his blog, which is The Cottage Baker. And recently, the National Park Service reached out to Mark and asked that he interpret the handwritten recipes of a woman named Mrs. Augusta Coors. She's the wife of a Montana cattle king named Conrad Coors, whose ranch is now a historical site. And Mark joins us right now on the Wednesday Morning Show. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am doing wonderful.
Great.
My garden is showing little strips of green, so I'm making progress.
Hey, that's a great sign. So before we talk about the recipes, how did you get involved in historical reenactment?
It's, in a way, something I've always been interested in. As a kid, we spent probably more time going through museums and historic homes and everything than we did going to things like Disney World. So I've always been very interested in history. And a number of years ago, I managed to stumble onto a rendezvous, a fur trade reenactment rendezvous, and I was absolutely hooked.
Describe what it is to somebody who's never experienced it.
There are different eras. There's the early fur trade. There's the Revolutionary War going all the way through the cowboy era. And when you're involved in historical reenacting, you're studying the clothing that they would have worn, anything in the way of arms and ammunition. And you are literally trying to relive history from that period.
And you play music as well from the periods that you reenact?
Yes, I do. Currently, I have a show called Historical Notes, and that involves playing banjo music from the Victorian era, and kind of centering on Stephen Foster, and I play that music on replica banjos. It's a Gord banjo, a replica 1855 Boucher banjo, another wooden banjo that I built, and it's all played in the minstrel style.
Huh. Where do you do that?
I've been doing it all over the state. Last year was kind of the heavy tour. I'm a legacy artist. I received a grant to do this. Okay. And I played down around Pipestone in that area. In fact, I performed at the Civil War reenactment down there. And this year, I think the one I have lined up may be this autumn for the Gichigami Library System.
Oh, fun. Excellent. So, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say those dates have yet to be determined, but other than that, I'll be playing up the Chuck Wagon Show out in Osage this summer. So,
oh, fun. Well, talk to us a little bit about when your cooking took a turn toward reworking the recipes from long ago.
That kind of fell into place, too, because when you're doing the reenacting, you're cooking with Dutch ovens and around the fire using coals and that type of thing. And foodie that I am, I've been in the restaurant business for decades, started studying that in more detail. And that kind of led to trying to find cookbooks from the period. So I started stacking up Victorian cookbooks. And just really started to research how the food was cooked back then, the utensils that you would have used to cook. Part of my antiques business is dealing with culinary antiques, and that would be the tinware and that type of thing you need to stock a competition-grade chuck wagons.
Oh, fascinating. We're talking with Mark Bridge this morning. Mark is a historical reenactor. He's a musician and he's a chef. And recently, Mark, your love of history and cooking converged, and you have a really unique opportunity to decipher some old recipes. Can you tell us about the project with the National Park Service?
Yes, I was contacted by them. The Grant Coors Ranch is in Montana, and at one time stretched out over millions of acres.
Wow.
And Conrad Coors, the reason it's called Grant Coors is Johnny Grant was the first one who settled out there. And he kind of learned that when you're working in a gold rush, you make more money selling food and things that the miners need than you do actually looking for the gold. So Johnny Grant got the ranch started, and then Conrad Coors came in. He started off just as your typical immigrant and ran a few butcher stores, and it grew from there into this huge empire. And his wife, Augusta, was really interested in cooking, and when they moved out there right after they were married, she was the one who initially did all of the cooking for the cowboys at the ranch and that type of thing. And as the years went on, she hand wrote her favorite recipes into a book.
Okay.
And the Park Service contacted me because the Grant Coors chuck wagon is in my chuck wagon registry, I guess. So they sent me the copies of all of her handwritten files and want me to modernize them and with method and that type of thing to turn them into a cookbook for the park.
Whoa. So what has this process been like? I was reading a little and noticed that it said many of the recipes were just lists of ingredients without any measurements or anything. How do you go about deciphering this?
You kind of need to know what the finished item would be. So you need a little bit of background in the baking and that type of stuff to be able to look at the ingredients and know, okay, well, it looks like this is a steamed pudding, or this would be a cake or a shortbread recipe. Mm. The funny thing is, even a lot of the published books from the Victorian era, all they would do is list the ingredients and amounts and not necessarily how to cook it. So there's a lot of experimentation you have to go through. A lot of stuff gets thrown out until you get it down. Part of the most difficult thing I'm still struggling with is not only are they handwritten, but some of the recipes are written in German.
Oh, my.
And that gets compounded by the fact that it's written in Old German. Mm. And so one of my projects now is to try to find a source to help translate those recipes.
Have you found a source?
Not yet. I'm thinking of maybe trying Concordia.
Yeah.
With the language camp there, or so, it would make a wonderful project for anyone taking German, because even when you try Google Translate, I tried one and it came back as Mayfly pudding, and I know that's probably not accurate.
Hmm, fascinating. So are you using the old style measuring cups and things like that? I mean, are they different than what we use now?
In a lot of ways, just more primitive, because I have them. I just decided to use those in doing the recipes. The measures are pretty much the same, except in a lot of cases, the recipes will call for a gill of something.
What's a gill?
It's close to a pint.
Oh, okay.
It's an old measurement. In fact, I have an old glass measuring pitcher that has all of that stuff embossed on the side, which is kind of fun.
Wow, they got the right guy for this job.
And in a lot of cases, even in the printed books back then, they talked about dobering eggs. Well, dober was a type of egg beater, which was very popular. It was the first mass-produced one, so they would actually call for dobering the eggs. And oh. I have a dober egg beater, so I leftover eggs when I make the recipe.
Oh, that's a brand name of the egg beater. Oh, interesting.
It'd be the equivalent to saying I'm going to make a Xerox of something. So.
Right. So in the end, you're going to have around 50 recipes. Is that right?
Around 50. And they also want, because it's working through the Park Service, they have what is called interpretation. So they like these, not just the recipe, but kind of the story and history that goes with it.
Okay.
And so in a lot of cases, like the example I just gave with the Dover and that type of thing, I need to be composing sidebars that go with the recipes that have this interesting history that goes with it.
So what are a couple of your favorite things about this whole process?
Just the learning process and being so interesting in history, and the recipes are just a real treasure trove, because there are some of them I have made and know that these haven't been made in a long time. And when you go online and you Google something like a California pudding and it doesn't show up, you realize, holy cow, I have some real treasures here.
Right. Excellent. When will this be finished?
Probably around fall. I still need to. This is a busy time out there, so there's a lot of telephone tag and latency and that type of thing. So I have close to the 50 done, and they've been formatted and everything. Right now I'm doing a lot of the sidebar, and there are some recipes I need to modernize because back then they weren't afraid to use raw eggs.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm having to, change ingredients over so that we're avoiding the unpasteurized and raw eggs and that type of thing. And I ran, a couple of the recipes were just horrible, so they get dropped. But
well, it sounds fascinating. I'll be following along and looking for these recipes. That is Mark Bridge. And you can follow along with his cooking journey on his blog, thecottagebaker.net. And you also might see him performing at the Osage Chuck Wagon this summer and other historical reenactments around the listening area. So thank you, Mark.
Oh, you're welcome.
Area Voices is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and by the people of Minnesota.